Do you ever need to get your kids on board with something? Oh, yeah. Whether it is a 2-year-old on board with the idea that they need to stop spitting on their sibling because they think it's hilarious, or you need to get an adolescent on board because you can see that they are headed in a bad direction with a romantic relationship. There are no formulas, there are no plug and plays, but there are principles that we can see throughout Scripture that we can use to guide us. And today I'm going to share some of those from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Stay tuned.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these 3 key aims. If you are a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
In Tuesday's episode of this week, I dove into the last verses in the book of Nehemiah. That's a book in the Old Testament of the Bible in chapter 2. And this is where Nehemiah comes to the people. He's been back at Jerusalem. He's been there for 3 days. And while he's there, he has conducted this covert operation with a few individuals so that he can get all the information he needs to develop a strategy to go along with his vision of seeing the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. And then what we see is in the end of this chapter is that he comes to the people and he casts this vision. He finally says, hey, here's why I'm here. He's been here for 3 days and they don't really have any idea why he has shown up. And he didn't just show up by himself. He shows up with this military escort that has come from the Persian king. And he comes and he shares with them this vision to see the walls rebuilt. And what we talked about last time was 4 ways in which he casts this vision. He appeals to them emotionally. They know that their capital city is laying there in shambles and in ruins. I mean, they live there, for crying out loud. So he doesn't come to them and say, hey, Jerusalem is here lying in ruins, because it's like, oh, didn't know that. Thanks for telling us, Nehemiah. The reason he states that is because he's wanting to resurrect within them a lament, an emotional sense that this is not as it should be, because they've just gotten so used to things being in such shambles. And he resurrects that within them. And then we see that what he does is he provides a solution that has an emotional appeal. He doesn't just say, come on, let's rebuild the walls. That's a solution. But there's no emotional appeal to that. He says, so that we will no longer suffer derision. That's not just a statement of fact. He's making an emotional appeal. The third thing he does is he addresses their fears. They're going to be scared that God is not in this and that the king, Artaxerxes, who is the leader and the ruler of the Persian Empire, leader's a little bit of a light term given the total control that he had. And they don't want to incur his wrath because he perceives their work as rebellion. So Nehemiah doesn't get annoyed by their fears. Rather, he understands and he's empathetic to them and he embraces and addresses them. And then the fourth thing that we saw was once he cast this vision and he had a strategy, then he's ready for these people to act. He doesn't give this long period of delay between casting his vision and then being ready for them to act. So how can we apply this to just the day-to-day life of raising kids? I'm so glad you asked. We're going to dive into that. One of the things that is important is if you have found yourself, whether you have one child or you have several, whether you're kind of a new family or your kids are older and everything, there are times that families hit places where something in life is kind of in a shambles. Now, this doesn't mean that the whole family is dysfunctional and falling apart. It might mean that, but it doesn't have to mean that. Maybe everything tracks along pretty well for you, except when it comes to dinner time. Maybe dinner time is routinely a disaster and it's in shambles. I mean, it's just, you feel like every time that once dinner is over, that you just got hit by a tornado. Maybe it's a matter that things run along pretty well, except when it comes to your involvement in church. And then that just seems to be a disaster and something that is in ruins. Here's one of the things that can happen when we get used to stuff like that. Eventually, it becomes our norm, but it doesn't become healthy. Just because something is normal doesn't make it healthy. The people that were living there in and around Jerusalem, they knew it was in shambles. They knew it was in ruins. It wasn't like they thought they had this amazing city with these really strong walls. And then all of a sudden, this Nehemiah guy shows up one day and goes, hey, y'all know that the walls over there are kind of in a shambles? And then they went, oh, gosh. Hey, you know what? Never saw that before. Thanks for telling us. That is not what is going on here. But what has happened is they have lived with this shambles and this mess and this rubble for so long that they've gotten used to it. And when Nehemiah calls them to this vision to rebuild, he has to appeal to them emotionally to basically say, this isn't how it should be. Let's do something about it. And that's what I would encourage you as a parent. If you look at your family, if you look at maybe it's your entire family, maybe it's just between you and one person in your family. Maybe it's between you and one kid. Maybe it's not even between you and a child. Maybe it's between two of your kids. And you can just see this isn't going well. You know, one of the things about raising kids is we usually don't see a problem until it becomes a pattern. The first time that something happens, unless it's so egregious that it's like, okay, clearly that is not okay. No, it is not okay to light your brother's hair on fire. Okay, I mean, that's pretty egregious. We can all agree. First time that happens, we don't need to have that become a repeated practice in order to go, maybe we got a problem here. But there are other things that kids do, and we don't automatically know, is this a one-off or is this something that's going to be a pattern? We also don't even know that for ourselves sometimes. Maybe it's just a matter that, okay, we're not going to have high expectations right now for how dinner gets handled because we know this. You know, we've all been sick with the flu. Right now, what we need to do is just keep everybody so they have enough food that nobody hits starvation mode. That's fine. I mean, sometimes we need to be able to adjust our expectations of ourselves or other people for that. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about that when we kind of start going, you know, I think we have a problem here because something has become a pattern. And one of the things that can happen then for parents is they can start to feel guilty and they can start beating themselves up because it's like, I guess I should have seen this before. And there's a difference between living in willful denial. And while there are parents that do that, I doubt you're one of them. If you hit a time where you recognize, oh, we got a pattern problem here. You know, peas are just not good for podcasts. Can I just clue you in a little bit, kind of the behind the scenes things? Peas are known as pop words in podcasting. And the way that you form that letter P it just makes, by default, if you're not really careful or you don't have the right kind of filters, it just makes this pop, pop, isn't that really annoying, sound on a podcast. Sorry about that. I will do my best to work on that. Anyway, back to the whole pattern problem issue. Maybe I just need to find new words for that. If you recognize that you have this ongoing issue, don't beat yourself up for why you didn't see it really early on, because that seldom happens. Once, however, you do recognize, okay, we have an ongoing issue here, don't accept that you have to live among the ruins and the shambles. Call to yourself or call to each other. Appeal to your emotions. Appeal to your children's emotions, your spouse's emotions, and say, hey, we want to do something different here. We don't want to keep spending our dinner times in arguments and in fights, and everybody can't wait to leave the dinner table. We don't have to accept that this continues to be our norm. We don't have to accept. And you just fill in the blank with what you see has become a place of ruins and shambles in your family's life, or maybe not even your entire family. Again, this might just apply in one relationship or another. Maybe it's sitting down with two of your kids and appealing to them emotionally and saying, you know, we've recognized here, or I've recognized here, there's an ongoing issue here that is forming, and it's devastating. It's destructive. It's creating ruins and shambles in your relationship. And so we're going to do something about this, not as a way of saying, get your act together, stop doing that, but rather to find a way to appeal to their emotions to say, we're going to live in safety with one another. We're going to work to be people of kindness and respect for one another. That's really what is in your heart. That desire that's in your heart is still there. And I want to do something to try to resurrect the awareness of that. And then you've got to have a strategy in place to how that's actually going to happen. You can't just say to a kid, this is what you need to go do, and then poof, all of a sudden, they're just automatically going to know what they need to do. And we can especially make that mistake as they get older and in adolescence and think, well, of course they should know what to do. And we don't want to make that assumption. Provide strategies, not just end goals, not just state your desire, but here's how this is actually going to happen. Get creative with that. Brainstorm. Check out other ideas and ask questions on forums and different things about how other people handle that kind of stuff. You do not have to live in the shambles and the ruins of something in your life simply because it's already been like that for a long time anyway. Address the fears that always come with change. And then once you've cast that vision, be prepared to act. And that's where, especially with kids, you have to have a strategy. Because if you sit down with them and you just say, look, I want to call you to have a bigger vision for your life and for your relationship. I want you to be each other's good friends. You might hope that they're best friends, but that might be a little too heavy of a load to put on them right now. Maybe it's just to be kind to one another. Well, you're going to have a strategy to help them with. So what does that actually look like so that you can capitalize on the moment and moving forward? But remember this, once you identify with your kids and in your family that there's some area of shambles and ruins, don't just beat yourself up and think, oh my gosh, why didn't I see this early on? Because shambles and ruins typically come over a period of time. It's not usually something that you see the first time that something occurs. But once you do see it, you have some ways to act on it, and you don't have to just throw up your hands and say, well, it's been this way as long as we've been a family, or as long as this child's been a part of the family or whatever. So I guess we're stuck with it. You can always have a new vision, and you can cast that out to your family, to your kids, and see something magnificent come to pass. All right, my friend, that is it for today's episode. Remember this, because it is true for you as an individual, and it is absolutely true for you exponentially as a parent or caregiver, and it is this: you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.